Thank you, Brother Billy. Maybe we should turn this into a testimony meeting. What shall I say more? You don't need me to say any more. If you're here and you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, if you've never had an experience similar to that, you don't need anything more. Brother Billy has told you of the change that has come into his life. An instantaneous change as he yielded and submitted and surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And that's why we preach the gospel. That is the message that we bring. That man as he is born in sin and needs to be changed. That sin needs to be forgiven. And there's only one person who can forgive that sin, and that's God. And there's only one reason he can forgive that sin. It's because his son, Jesus Christ, died to put away sin. And whoever confesses Jesus Christ as Lord is forgiven of that sin. That's the message. That's the gospel. As simply as it can be stated. But it comes to every individual through faith. You have to believe the word of God. You have to believe the message of the gospel of the grace of God. You cannot doubt it. You cannot have misgivings about it. You have to believe that this is the inspired word of the living God. God breathed. God who at sundry times and divers manners and time past spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. This is the message that he came to bring. And this is the message that we love to repeat over and over. I trust that you'll make that decision today if you've never made it before. It has to be a complete surrender, a complete change, a complete giving over of yourself to Jesus Christ. God help you to do it today. Let's read from the book of Romans, please. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. May God bless the reading of His word to each of our hearts. One writer has referred to the book of Romans as a legal brief, legal document. God is the judge. This is God's penal code, which every country has, the standard by which men are judged for their actions. The Holy Spirit would be the prosecutor, bringing the charges against the guilty. And the guilty is the entire human race, Jew and Gentile, as he sums it up in chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then the Lord Jesus is what we seldom have in our courts of justice, but occasionally we have. He is the divine substitute who takes the judgment, the punishment of the guilty, and lets the guilty go free. That's what Brother Billy has told you about. And that's what I've experienced, and many of you here today have experienced, when we surrender to the claims of the Lord Jesus and realize that God's judgment was about to fall upon us. The Lord Jesus, He pleads on our behalf. We brought Him guilty before God, but He says, I've taken His judgment. I have borne His sins. And if he confesses me as Lord, forgive him. Put that to my account. Charge it all to me. I've borne it all for him. So we might have here in Romans a title deed to glory. Every lawyer, when he is asked to prepare a transaction of title deed from one person to another, from one party to another, he will go to the registry and research that title that he's been given to see whether it is clear, whether there are any encumbrances, whether it's free of all indebtedness before it's transferred to the would-be buyer. I can tell you that the title deed to glory is without encumbrances. The title deed to glory has been cleared. And every person who ever will be in the glory land has to come through that person who cleared the title deed, that person who paid all of man's indebtedness, that person who settled every claim in order that that title deed may be transferred to you and to me. That person is Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior. He's the only one that we can hold up before mankind. He is the only way to God. He's the only way to glory. Apart from him, man is doomed and will eventually be damned in a lost eternity. But he is cleared, settled forever, sin's tremendous claim. As Brother Billy said, we present him to you today. Jesus Christ, God's well-beloved Son, the one and only one who has made it possible that guilty man might be received into God's heaven. If you were to stand before God today and God were to ask you, you stood at those pearly gates, and this probably will never happen, but if you were to stand outside those pearly gates today and ask for admittance, and God were to say to you, what is the reason? On what basis should I receive you into my heaven? Of all the 1,001 excuses you might give, if you gave them all except that you said, I'm resting upon the finished work of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. I'm coming to you to enter heaven based on the cross work, his death and resurrection, the shedding of his blood. If you have not that as an answer, if you cannot give that to Almighty God as the reason that you want admittance into his kingdom, every other excuse, no matter how good you think it is, will be of no avail. He'll say, depart from me. I never knew. Jesus Christ is God's standard, and he's the only one through whom we can enter those pearly gates. So Paul's task to these Roman believers is to make them certain, to give them good hope. That their faith is based upon a solid foundation which can never fail, and a foundation upon which God is able to receive them and us into his kingdom. God's grace, I want you to follow me closely here. God's grace is both elective and selective. Now don't become fearful. When I say that God's grace is elective, you see, God is omniscient. God knows everything. It is very difficult for you and I to understand that. God is eternal. God has always been there. He will never cease to be there. God always has known everything. We only know what we've heard and seen up until this moment. We don't know what is going to be in the next 60 seconds. But God knows the end from the beginning. If we can ever begin to understand that. So when I say that God's grace is elective, we read about election in this epistle and other parts of the New Testament. Elect, as Peter tells us in his epistle, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. There we have the entire Godhead involved in the sanctification, the redemption, the salvation of mankind. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. You say, well, I don't know whether I'm one of God's elect. Elect or not. You don't have to know that. God has elected, follow me closely, God has elected those to be saved because God knows who will elect to receive His Son, Jesus Christ. God has not arbitrarily said, well, I will choose him and her and him and her and he and she will never be saved. God has not determined that. God knows that. But God has not determined that. For the gospel is preached to whosoever will. But God has elected because he knows who will elect to receive his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Because God knows everything, he knows the end from the beginning. God has not determined that it will be that way, but he knows it. He knows the heart that will believe. He knows the heart that will not believe, that will reject God's offers of mercy. And there is no difficulty on your part to try to determine whether you're one of the elect. The only reason you'll know if you're one of the elect is if you stand and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. But God's grace is selective. It's selective in this respect. Adam and Eve had first two sons, Cain and Abel. They were both told the way of approach unto God. I'm sure of that. As Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden that day and God slew the animals and provided coats of skins for their covering, they knew that this was the only way of approach back into God's presence through sacrifice, through the shedding of blood, through the death of an innocent one. One who would give his life for the sinner. When the time came for them to approach God, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. Cain brought no blood sacrifice. He brought the fruit, the work, the product of his own hands, his own efforts. Abel brought an innocent lamb, and he sacrificed that lamb. He shed his blood. He was telling God, I'm approaching you on the ground of sacrifice. This lamb is taking my place in death. He's dying that I might not die, and I'm coming to you on the value of the sacrifice of this lamb. And that lamb pointed on to the Lord Jesus Christ. For God had said to the serpent, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There was the first prophecy concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus, although he wouldn't come for another 4,000 years abruptly. And so Cain had the same privilege. Cain was given the same message of hope. Cain rejected, but Abel accepted. Jacob had 12 sons. Judah, of the 12, was selected to be the one through whom the seed would come, the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. But Isaac was the one through whom seed continues. And so on down, as we come to Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, we have the genealogies of both Joseph and Mary. Although Joseph was not the earthly father of the Lord Jesus, he was his foster father. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. He was not a product of man's efforts, but he was the seed of the woman, conceived of the Holy Ghost. Judah was in the line of Joseph. Judah and David, both were in the line of Mary. And so, when we come to the Epistle to the Romans, God selects this man, Saul of Tarsus, one who opposed the message of Christ, one who did not believe in the Nazarene, one who secured letters from the chief priests to go and arrest and bring to trial all who called on his name. But he was a man who, he knew the Jewish law inside out, from back to back. He could quote large portions of that law. He knew it. God laid his hand upon him that day on the road to Damascus, smote him down from his horse or his mule, and he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And God used that man, Saul of Tarsus, who was later known as Paul the Apostle, to give us at least 13 books in the New Testament, 13 letters, possibly 14. A man who was well versed in the law of Moses, and who could write this epistle and the epistle to the Galatians and explain that righteousness could not come to the human race through the works of the law. He was a man who knew the law. And God used him to explain to them and to us that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It had its purpose, but it could not bring salvation. It could not give us standing before God. It could not give us entrance into heaven. And he explains to them and to us that the only person, the only one who could bring us to God is our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the men in your lifetime on whom God has laid his hand, selected men and women who've been called of God and been given the message of hope, the message of the gospel, and have gone out to the ends of the earth to carry this message. They left behind them wealth and a lot of friends and popularity, and they turned their back upon it all. And for the name of Christ and for the glory of God, they've gone out and buried themselves in the dark continents of the earth, in South America, in India, in China, in Africa. They've gone to the ends of the earth, these men and women, and they've given themselves to the work of God. These men have been selected by God. because they wholly committed themselves to God after they were saved. It's possible that God could lay his hand upon someone here today. A person who is willing to stand and without shame confess Jesus Christ as Lord. There's a lot of work in these Bahama Islands to be done. There are islands here, people in these islands who've never heard the clear gospel of the grace of God. Do you believe that? It is true. There are people in these islands who have been deceived, who have been confused, and they've never heard the clear gospel of the grace of God. How to be saved. It may be that God will lay his hand upon someone who's willing to turn his back upon everything in this life and commit himself fully to the will of God. God does that. He will select these men or these women to do his particular work. Maybe he would do it for you. But first of all, that life of yours must be surrendered fully to him. You must turn your back upon everything that you've thought would be good enough for God. And all your excuses and all your unbelief must be forever put aside, and to receive the Word of God in all its truth, in simplicity, in all its fullness, and allow the Spirit of God to come into your being and to fill and flood your soul with that peace and that conviction that will lead you, that will drive you to do the will of God without reservation. People have religion. Saul of Tarsus had religion up to his eyebrows. But Saul of Tarsus was a murderer. He consented to those who stoned Stephen to death. He was as guilty as they were for aiding and abetting is the same in the law as the perpetrator of the deed. We do not preach a religion here at this church. I trust that we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. A gospel that exalts Jesus Christ, that condemns the guilty sinner, and offers pardon to the believer. Man-made religion is only that. It can only take you from the cradle to the grave. sad to say, thousands on this island are going to the grave with religious, but not redemption. Religion, but not Christ. Satisfied, but not saved. We don't preach a religion. There are religions without number in this island. I suppose, I don't know how many religions there are in the world, but there are many of them in this island. But religion will never take you into the abode of God. He can take you from the cradle to the grave, but it cannot take you into the kingdom of God. Only the grace of God, faith in Christ, a sinless Savior who died in your stead, and your confession of Him as your Lord and Savior. Notice what Paul says, it is the gospel of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. It proceeded from God. It came to us through Jesus Christ. And any other gospel, as Paul says, if they preach any other gospel, let them be accursed. There is no other way to God. This message came from God. It came from heaven. It came to earth through God's Son, Jesus Christ. It's a message that exalts God's Son. It's a message that glorifies God, because in His Son, God demonstrated to a simple world the only way that He could forgive them and receive them unto Himself. The cross of Christ, the death of Christ, the shedding of His blood, His triumphant resurrection is the only basis, the only means, the only message, the only story that exalts and glorifies God and also gives honor and glory to God's beloved Son. The gospel of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. Religions do not have that as their basis. That is not the philosophy of religion. Religions are man-made. What somebody has thought and written down a code, a procedure, an ethics. But this gospel that Paul preached, this gospel that we preach, is a gospel that came direct from the throne of God, through Jesus Christ, by way of Calvary. And that's the message, the only message that we have to bring. Paul calls it the glorious gospel. He says in 2 Corinthians, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And again, he uses that phrase when he's writing to Timothy. He calls it the glorious gospel of the blessed God. This gospel, which is so simple, yet it is so glorious, it enhances, it magnifies the God of this universe. That God, so mighty, should so love a sinful humanity. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, in eternity. And they communed together, and it was decided that God the Son would come into this world and become a man, take a body, a human body, and live on this earth, and then die. As the substitute, as Abel's animal died in his stead, the Lamb of God would die in your stead and in mine. Can you imagine that God would be manifest in the flesh, God who is spirit, who cannot be seen, who cannot be grasped, cannot be apprehended. God who is spirit would become a man, take a body, that he could be seen, he could be heard, he could be touched. And didn't they touch him? John tells us, he says, the word of life, which we heard, which we saw, which we handled, and didn't they handle it? They mishandled it. They beat him. They mocked him. They crucified him. God came down as a man to dwell amongst men. In order that poor sinners such as we might be saved. It is beyond our understanding, beyond our grasp. Yet, the little that we do understand, most of us here today have believed it and confessed it, believed that message, believed in Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of the blessed God. The glorious gospel of the blessed God. That God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Received up into glory. When the mission was complete. That cycle was complete. Well, not complete yet. But he came, he lived, he died, he's gone back to glory. He's there seated at God's right hand, the majesty on high, waiting to receive the repentant sinner. And that message will one day be consummated. But it will be an ongoing consummation. It will never come to an end. That he will transport all who have believed in him from this thing, whether they die or whether they live. But all who have believed will be transported either out of the graves or out of these bodies into the realms of bliss to live on forever, to enjoy and explore all the riches of his grace. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. We taste a little of it now. We read the Word of God. And we taste a little of it now. We are excited. Are we? Does our Christianity excite us as we read the Word of God, as we hear it preached? Does it excite us to know that God has prepared for us untold and unlimited bliss? That's what He wants to give you today. If you've never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, if you've never believed on Him, you've never taken your stand on His side, He says, I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom thee and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? We don't have to give money. All we have to give is ourselves. In all of our needs, say, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. Give yourself to Him today. He is a worthy Savior. He is abundant in mercy. He is willing and ready to save. Will you despise His mercy? As Paul preached this message, some believed, some rejected, and some procrastinated. They said, we'll hear you again of this matter. Don't be among that group today. Be among the group who will say, I will believe. I do believe that Jesus died for me, that on the cross He shed His blood from sin to set me free. Don't be among the procrastinators. Be among the believers. Take your stand for Jesus Christ. Confess Him as your Lord now. Do it today before you leave here. Have that peace that passes all understanding to know that your sins are forgiven. You're a child of God, and eternal bliss, untold happiness, awaits you in eternity. May God help you to do it today for His name. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for this glorious gospel of the blessed God. This message of hope, this message of salvation, this message of deliverance that has come to us through Thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that He came, He lived, He loved, and He died, but He rose again. Today He is a living Savior, waiting to receive all who will believe. We pray for those who are here today, that if there is one person here who is not a believer on Jesus Christ, one person who has never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, we pray that that person will do it today. Give them the faith and the courage to take their stand for Jesus Christ. Part us now with Thy blessing. Bless Thy word to our hearts, we pray, as we give thanks in Jesus' name.